Let me put some hot sauce on that thing real quick.
Happy Monday, everyone. It is Monday, January 9th, 2022. I am your host, Rich Sabata, founder of Bodega Body, strength and conditioning coach, writer, social justice activist. And today, I've got a special guest coming to you live, not live, but recorded live. I'm talking to my good friend, Dr. Jordan Seda. Jordan is a physical therapist. He is a strength coach. And most importantly, he's a really good friend of mine. And today we're going to talk a lot about how you can use pain as a guide to unlock your inner athlete, but also talking to Jordan's perspective, you're going to learn a lot about how someone with a physical therapy background doesn't just have to be a sort of last touch solution for a problem you might have, but you can actually go to someone like Jordan for preventative health measures and how to become a stronger athlete from the beginning of your fitness journey. So, with that said, I won't talk much more and enjoy the show.
You know what's funny? I like laugh and we're starting. I laugh because I think a lot of people think about the beginning of the year. And they're like, oh my God, this year is going to be great. Everything's going to change because the calendar changed over. But like nothing has changed in time. 2022 is going to be just as crazy as 2021, if not worse. So there you go. There's some motivation on a Monday morning. Sunday morning. When we're recording.
Oh, yes, no one we're recording this.
That's true. That's true. Welcome back to the show. I have here a really good friend of mine. This is not an interview. This is a conversation between two strange people with very strange senses of humor. And it's funny because we recorded a little over a year ago for the podcast. And it was a great conversation back then. You should go listen to it. But our friendship has developed so much more in that year. So I expect some ounces of weird sense of humor to come out at this point. But he's a doctor of physical therapy. He's a strength and conditioning coach. He is a capoeira expert, enthusiast, maybe. I'll say enthusiast. So no one out there gets mad. And he's my really good friend. Please welcome Jordan Seda.
Yo, what's going on? Happy to be back here. Yeah.
Did you have any New Year's resolutions that you set for yourself?
Yeah, I was talking about this on my own show. So I have my own podcast as well, To Health and Back. Shout out. Using this as an advertising platform for that. But I don't have any resolutions. I just plan to continue the mission that I had in 2021, which is to go after my health and fitness goals wholeheartedly. There are some things I can improve upon, so I'm working on those aspects. But at the end of the day, I feel like I'm in a groove right now. And aside from just like traveling more, which I plan to do anyway, it's kind of like, I don't think there's anything new. It's just like, now I have opportunities to continue growing and I plan to just throw my energy towards that.
Word. That's cool. I think about my own goals, right? And you've seen me grow both physically.
I've seen your quads grow for sure.
Yeah. My quads have definitely grown in the year and change that we've known each other. But I think a lot of my goals are pretty similar, right? It's like continuing the the things that we have done well and continue the things that we do well. And then look for opportunities, one, where there's chances to learn something, but two, just like get outside more. Because, you know, last year I did travel a decent bit, but compared to whatever a normal time is at this point, probably not. So that's definitely mine too this year. We got a trip coming up to LA. We're going to Mexico in the summer. Maybe a couple other trips if I can squeeze them in, but it's good stuff. So Jordan, I know a little bit about your background, how you got to physical therapy. For the reminder, or as a reminder to folks who may not be familiar with you, how did you fall into the world of PT and strength training?
Yeah, so this is the synopsis version of my long bio on my website. But when I was 14, I was running indoor track in my high school, and it's kind of weird. I can't describe. It's not like a normal track. It's like more of a square than it is an oval. Think of like, I don't know, what would a square with round edges be? That's my track in high school.
Interesting.
So I don't know, for some reason, like the person in front of me slowed down and I didn't. So my ankle like made a 90 degree angle and it swelled up like crazy to the point where I needed medical attention. So I needed physical therapy for that, which at the time it took me about a month and a half before I could get back on the field for baseball, which was my primary sport at the time. Track was something I was doing in between.
That's pretty quick, all things considered, though.
It is, except for the fact that I realized it could have been quicker after my second bout of physical therapy for a similar injury 2 years later with a different physical therapist. So to compare both of those experiences, the first time I had like three different physical therapists. I was being passed around often. I got like some massage, some TheraBand stuff, and they put electrical stim and ice on my ankle. The second therapist was my only therapist, well, the second bout of therapy rather, and she became really good friends with my family. She really genuinely cared about me, and she gave me exercises that challenged me, challenged my balance, challenged my strength without just giving me band stuff. And I realized that I was able to get back to sport, and I was playing football at the time. I was able to get my speed back, start cutting on my ankle more because I was a wide receiver in football, believe it or not, even though I'm sitting here short. And I think I weighed 155 wet when I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, those hits hurt. But I think I realized through that, and then having to get my ankle taped by the athletic trainer regularly for high school sports, I started to notice my passion for sports injuries and rehabilitation. And then from there, it was kind of like a straight shot through undergrad to grad school. And here I am as I have to say seasoned practitioner now.
Yeah. Look, and before I go and blow smoke up your ass, you're a damn good one, right? But there is, I think, something to the, oh, I dealt with a previous injury in the past, so now I have an extra sort of interest in this, especially when you're in the fitness world, sort of like both of us, right? You come from the background of an athlete. You know, now that I am a coach, a personal trainer, I think about the little things that that very much get in my way, right? Like small injuries, larger injuries, and we work together. I was your client previously in the past, and some of the things that you taught me, I continue doing to this day. So for what it's worth, I've gotten my money's worth because it's gone sort of very far for me. But what I'll say is that now as a coach from that perspective, I have this new fascination with your world. I think to a degree that I don't think I had when we first met each other, especially now because there's a little bit more for me to learn and there's a little bit more applicability for it. But I think there is something to that, right? That the times of distress sometimes lead to the things that pique our interest.
Yeah, absolutely. I think growth happens sometimes when we're at our most vulnerable, at during our most trying times, and we have to figure out which resources can we rely upon, or some sort of like intrinsic motivation and strength that we find from having to figure it all out.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, there's a lot of people, right, in our profession, I'll say. And by our profession, I mean within the fitness and health world, mm-hmm. right? And not everyone is equipped with the same knowledge, I'll say. And not everyone has the same sort of expertise. Like as an example, right? Like you might know the fundamentals of bodybuilding. Are you a bodybuilder? Not necessarily. Another example, right, is that I always give people is that like, I am a strength and conditioning coach. I am not a physical therapist, right? There are people that I push in, you know, your direction and someone else's direction if there is something that I don't know. But I don't think there's enough people sort of in our industry that do that. I also think what's great about your discipline is that you have a lot of background in, yes, the physical therapy realm, but your background is also very much in what I'll say the preventative health, and even not just preventative health, but athletic performance sort of realm as well. So how did you come to that interest in not only the recovery portion of your practice, but also looking for ways to use the knowledge that you now have from how the human body works into the more athletic performance training?
Yeah, it's a journey, because I think when I first went into practice, I was the type of provider that was going to use all the skills I learned in school. I was going to make a difference, and I was going to be an expert at realigning joints and releasing muscle tissue with my hands. And I realized pretty soon, and I'm sure many physical therapists would agree, especially now in 2022, I almost said 2021, I had to correct myself, but the results that we were getting with our clients were taking longer, and people weren't really learning anything from just being worked on from us all the time. Whereas in your case, you were talking about how you learn things from working with me, and a lot of it is, I don't know which place in the Bible there is this quote, but it's like, if you catch a fish for man, he'll eat for a day. If you teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime.
Sure.
And I think when you can make people modify their lifestyle habits and make it a habit, because we're all inspired on January 1st to, we're going to be healthier this year, we're going to take on all these new challenges, and then middle of January, or it snows or it's cold, and you're not going to go to the gym that day. It's like, if going to the gym is a habit for you, you're going to go through rain, snow, you'll probably like sled there if you have to, you know. So I think in order for long-term performance and longevity to, you know, staying healthy, in order to be able to perform at your best, you need to adopt certain lifestyle habits, like making sleep and active rest a priority in your life, understanding different ways in which to move that are therapeutic, and understanding what is too much for your body and understanding what's too little. I think a lot of what I teach people is just how to be their own thermostat. In terms of like movement and understanding sensations, because it's difficult. That's not black and white, that like, this hurts, I shouldn't do it. Not necessarily. Or this type of pain that I'm feeling is like, it's a little bit numb, or it feels hot. So it's like, what that might mean to one individual versus another is completely different. And trying to tease that out is when I think, it's what drives me in my practice to be able to figure that out, because it's so incredibly difficult. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. You definitely did. I think there's something to that, right? And one of the things that you and I talk about often, both one for a practical sort of implication for myself, but also just in general, as I think about myself as a coach, one of the best things that you ever taught me is about how pain can be a guide for, oh, there's something here that I should address. And that's something that when I was, I'll say younger in my fitness journey, right? And I've been working out seriously for 5 years. I've been weightlifting seriously for maybe a year. For all intents and purposes, I'm still a rookie and new at a lot of things. All that's to say, one of the most life-changing things that you taught me was I was working out with you one morning, as we did for a bit, and I was squatting, and I remember telling you, I was like, Jordan, man, my hip kind of hurts today. It's a bit tight. And you were like, well, where is it tight? At what point in your lift does it hurt? And we started going through it, and we started like going through the checklist and in your head of the insane amount of knowledge that you have, and saying, all right, well, I think we figured out, I just needed to take my shoes off and like squat a little wider. And that took away the uncomfortability that I had. And
that's not, I don't think that's a word, by the way.
Uncomfortability? It's not. I made it up. I made it up.
The uncomfortableness. I'm sorry. I'm that guy.
No, it's okay. but it went away, right? And it's something that I was like, oh man, like that little adjustment changed my squat, and it changed how I was approaching the gym. But at that point, the pain was a guide. One, I'm doing something wrong. But two, I had the ability to do something better. And with that adjustment, we made me stronger. So I think in that sense, pain can be a very good sort of indicator, that you need to address something in order to continue your performance.
Yeah. It's going to be tough to digest me saying this, but pain can be our friend. Like, pain is our body's response to danger, and it keeps us from doing things that will put it at harm. Now, I could do another podcast episode on whether pain is truly, you know, derived from a physical injury versus the brain and other factors. That's like, I would open a can of worms, but I think at the end of the day, if you look at pain as like our signal to stop doing something that's potentially harmful for whatever reason, we don't have to look at it as like, oh, I'm just going to like lie down all day and do nothing because I hurt. It's like, no, not necessarily. If you move around and you feel pain, eventually your body's going to adapt to a certain level of stress. Maybe not walking 2 miles that day, but maybe half a mile you can tolerate fine. So it's not that you can't walk at all. It's just that you can't walk 2 miles and your body is telling you it's not prepared for that yet. So not necessarily something to be afraid of.
Yeah. And I guess for the layman out there, right? How should a person think about pain on a regular basis, right? Because there's a couple of different things that people may maybe perceive as pain, right? There's that sort of, I'll say, uncomfortness. Uncomfortable feel that people feel. Let's say if you sat down all day, right? Like you're like me, where I spend 9-10 hours a day sitting in this chair. Maybe I get up a couple times, but for majority of that time, I'm sitting here, and doing work. Versus, oh man, you know, I had a really intense session yesterday, or maybe I tweaked something. Like, how do people tell the difference in the signals that their body is giving them?
Many times they can't. And yeah, that's why people like me exist.
No, yeah, for sure.
I think if it's a new sensation, it's definitely something to be concerned about, because your body, you know, usually you can attribute like, oh, I know what that type of pain feels like. I've been down this road before. I know how to address it and it's going to be fine. But for example, I had some pain in like the middle of my shoulder blade, and usually that's indicative of some lower cervical spine injury, like a nerve entrapment, if you will. And that's new to me. I'm used to treating it and diagnosing it, but to experience it myself, I'm like, okay, this is something I need to address, because it's like, it's new. Versus, oh, my chronic foot pain sometimes bothers me, but I know exactly what to do and it's going to feel better. and appreciating that if I do a considerable amount of activity, like if I went on a long hike tomorrow, my body's going to hurt because I'm not used to hiking all the time. Like you can't do that in the Northeast anyway. Like if I were in Colorado, I could probably go on a massive hike multiple times a week and be okay because my body has adapted to that level of stress. And I think a lot of it is just understanding consistency. Mm. Like our body responds to fluctuations in overall activity level, and you couple that with the preparedness to go into that activity. So if I have a quality night of sleep, if I am very well hydrated and it's not really cold outside, I'm probably going to perform very well. And not even just cold, like a very humid environment, on the contrary, would compromise my performance along with a terrible night of sleep. So you're trying to balance both of those factors, not spiking your activity level too much, along with making sure that you are adequately ready to perform. It's kind of like, I'm trying to think of a good analogy here and it's not coming to me, but like, think about like something that's full, like a cup that's full.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I want coffee, and this cup of coffee is like, it's like fresh and whatever. It's like, okay, great. Versus like a cup of coffee where you're almost at the grounds already. There's not much in there. It's like, you're not going to really have a good experience because you're like at the dregs of what you have available.
Right. No, yeah, that makes sense. I think, the natural, sort of curiosity that comes with that is, you know, if I do get something that's new, right, at what point do I go from like, all right, maybe I stretch this out, or maybe I, you know, try to like, how do people approach the self rehab versus maybe it's time to go see someone?
It's time to go see someone if things are not getting better, first of all.
Yeah.
And especially if they're worsening, that definitely, I think you have to think about how much the activity that you want to do and you can't do is limiting your quality of life. And there's certain daily activities that we need to do. Right. And if we can't do them, it's certainly worth addressing. It's not, I would say within like a week or two, if things aren't getting better, you should seek out professional help for sure. Instead of, I'm just going to pop some Tylenol or rub some creams on me, and there, you know, there's nothing wrong with them. Right, if they do offer you relief, that's fine. But I certainly think movement should be the first choice activity to address pain instead of going to those other factors. But I think a lot of it is understanding. There's different levels of understanding of our bodies and what they respond to. Like, for example, there's a lot of traditional beliefs that stretching is helpful, that putting ice on an acute injury is helpful. And I think I would not advise people to do either one of those necessarily. But then again, we could talk about what does stretching even mean? There are different types of stretching.
Sure.
I think other than static stretching, there are types that you can implement. And again, it's using pain as a guide by doing those things that is going to be effective. The hard part is like, which exercise do I do? For how long do I hold this exercise? And, you know, good luck to you to go on the internet and find the answers to that question. This is such an individual experience with pain that you can get maybe like 20 to 30% clarity on something looking at the internet.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, having someone like myself to be an objective perspective on your situation and advise you one way or another, it doesn't mean I'm going to be right, but I know even from my injuries, and I'm a physical therapist, it helps when I have someone else look at me and see something that I could be potentially missing.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I think to a different degree, I think about my experience and how I came to you, and this is, I guess, sort of a fun story. And this is an example of probably what you shouldn't do. But I pre-pandemic, I was squatting pretty heavy. And silly me, the first day I get back to squatting after, you know, the gyms first opened back up, I was probably a little bit over ambitious. And I remember I put a couple plates on the barbell and I squatted. And I remember this like sharp, like insane, I can only describe it as like a pinching feeling in the middle of my back happened as I was trying to squat. I was like, oh, that's different. That hurts. And I was able to thankfully control the bar and put it down. And I had dealt with like some back discomfort in the past, just from like sitting around all the time, poor posture. And I was like a couple years into my fitness experience at this point. So I was like, all right, I did something wrong. That hurts a lot. You know, and then I came to you and I realized that some of the stuff that I was doing prior to that injury maybe wasn't the strongest strategy for addressing discomfort, because clearly in a situation where I had injured myself, you know, it came as a result of me like not properly addressing the imbalances that I had in the past, but also just from being over ambitious and trying to be an ego lifter. So yeah, anyways, that was just a sort of example of how you can also sort of tell when it's time to see someone, right? Like when you're going through a lift and you know, feel that feeling, it's like, all right, well, it's time to go talk to my friend Jordan.
Yeah. And to that point, I think even like there are imbalances, it's just going to happen. Like the way we use our bodies and we have side dominances. I mean, there are ambidextrous people out there.
Yeah.
If they're also ambidextrous in their legs, it's like also cool. But for the most part, you're going to distribute weight on one side more than you are the other. And you could do your best to be preventative about it and do single limb exercises that will sort of fortify those movement patterns. But at the end of the day, you know, even when you're very adequately prepared, you know, I always say shit happens. And
yeah,
I think at that point, you just have to take it in stride, you know, realize that your preparedness has made the level of pain that is manifesting considerably less than it would have been if you neglected to keep your body at a high capacity to perform. So there's no algorithm to figuring this all out.
Yeah, for sure.
They're trying to develop them. There's some guides, but some things are just impossible to predict.
Yeah. And the human body works in weird, weird ways. There's a lot of like interesting examples of this. When I went to do my kettlebell certification, the lead instructor is also a mobility coach, and he has his own mobility methods. It's called Flexible Steel, for anyone who's familiar with it out there. And one of the weirdest things that he taught me was we were standing, and we were kind of just going through some mobility drills. And he said, all right, put your foot back and put some weight on your ankle with your foot facing down. And what he had done was we were actually working on shoulder mobility stuff. So he was like, pick up your shoulder, you know, try to get it behind your ear. And then we did this like ankle foot thing. And then he said, do it again. And for some strange reason, this like unlocked like an extra like inch of being able to move back. And I think there's a lot of strange stuff like that we perhaps can't explain yet, but that still sort of exists out there, and there isn't necessarily a computer that's gonna be able to get smart enough anytime soon to be able to explain that to you.
I don't have much to say other than like, yes, I completely agree. I do not think we could be replaced by robots or AI. They're trying to create apps that you can pretty much enter your symptoms and it'll give you exercises, but then okay, so fine. You have exercises that adequately address your injury. Then what? What happens when you start to feel better? What happens if they make you feel worse? How long do you have to hold those exercises for? How many times a day do you do those exercises? It's so fucking difficult.
Yeah, no, and it's individualized and it's personalized.
I did that, so you have to make this an explicit episode.
They're all always explicit. I curse too much. How do you think about the difference in and these two are sort of related to a degree. Pain that comes from an injury, right? Or pain, I'll say discomfort, that can come from a mobility issue. That was a question.
That was the question. Pain that comes from an injury and pain that comes from a would you call a mobility? I think I'm trying. I took so long to respond because is a mobility limitation not an injury? Uh-oh. Or is it not the cause, like the byproduct of a pre-existing injury? So let's take your shoulder mobility issue for an example. Could it be that there was a labral tear multiple years ago that caused some sort of capsular tightness that limited your mobility? Or is it strictly muscle tightness from your lats or your chest that's limiting your mobility? So I can't say those are independent situations. Sure, So I'm vindicated now in my delayed response because of that.
Yeah, that's fair.
But what I would say is any sort of limitation is not necessarily the cause of an injury. It's the cause of your body's sensitivity to movement. Right. So again, it comes down to perceived danger. So there's a good example when I was taking chronic pain courses by this group called the Neuroorthopedic Institute out of Australia. They gave this model of two peaks. So it goes back to the hiking example. You're going to feel soreness early on in a hike.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you can't continue your hike. It's just your muscles saying, okay, like this is challenging me. Now, if you do that same hike while you're hurt, your muscles are going to respond. Muscles, and I mean, I say muscles, but like all soft tissues,
right,
pretty much. They're going to respond sooner up the mountain because it's protecting you from going to even where your potential might be because it perceives danger sooner. So all you're trying to do is raise that bar up to close to where your body will actually experience physical damage.
Okay.
So it's like perceived damage to like, yes, your body physically cannot do more than this. And if you pass go, you will not collect $200.
Right. And it's also one of those things that you can describe it. But you have to learn that feeling, right? Like you have to learn to sort of test that on your own, right? And talking about, you know, when you're beginning to strength train, weightlift, workout, exercise, like whatever it might be, there is going to be that level of discomfort. And I think one of the things you have to test out for yourself is, and really think about on a regular basis is this discomfort, kind of what you were talking about a little bit earlier, like, is this discomfort going away after a day or so? Or am I like starting to feel pain, on a regular basis, or, is this pain, limiting my ability to perform whatever activity it is that I'm specifically trying to do? So I think that that's also another way to potentially think about that.
Well, I think what's hilarious also, just to, I cut you off.
No, it's okay.
You'll appreciate this as a new coach, but sometimes people think that exercise is painful.
Yeah.
Where it's actually just like a normal response to exercise, that as you start to approach fatigue, you're going to have a response. But that's not, it's pain if they call it pain, but in actuality, most of us know that it's just a normal response to exercise. So I look forward to you going through that.
No, no. And it's true, right? Like, and I, you know, my wife is starting to train a little bit more in the gym. She's starting to pick up some weightlifting. And one, I'm incredibly proud of her for doing so. But there were a couple of days where, especially at the beginning, where after she squatted, she was like, oh my God, I'm in pain. and the soreness comes with the territory. And sometimes, especially if you work really hard or you go to, especially to a point of hypertrophy to where you're not used to, you're going to have some delayed soreness for the next couple of days until your body, until you learn a good recovery strategy, which really is just making sure you get adequate nutrition and sleep for the most part. For a majority of people, right? Yes, there are some things you can do, Jordan. But that pain is a normal part of the process. But a normal thing that you have to learn when you're, I'll say newer in your strength training or any kind of new fitness journey. I guess this is sort of related. When you think about the younger version of Jordan, even like down to your like high school athlete days, what are some of the principles that you know now that you wish you knew back then?
Specifically geared towards performance and injury, because I've learned a lot in my older. Probably for another podcast episode.
We'll save the other stuff for the Rated R podcast.
Let's see. Most people don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Fair.
They may be well intentioned. Yeah. So I put it out there. I mean, there's a lot of people who want to do the right thing, and based off of the context of information they have and their views about the world, they guide you in one particular way. I don't think it's poorly intentioned to be like, oh, you should stretch this after you get hurt, but I think it's the wrong thing to do.
Right.
In most cases. What I would say is be kind to myself when I'm hurt. I think about myself as a high school athlete. It's hard because there's pressure sometimes in sports where they want you back on the field, or in my case, it was actually held against me. It's like, oh, your ankle must be holding you back. You're not as explosive as you used to be, when I felt like I was, but I later learned that he was trying to weed me out of playing anyway, my coach at the time. So I realized that, you know, what can I, it's always come down to like, can I control the outcome of the situation? I'm doing everything that I can. Mm-hmm. I'm being true to the process. It is a process. I think understanding that we all want instant gratification. We all want to know that we're going to live happily ever after. We're going to find a career that pays us well and gives us joy, and among other things. But there's going to be considerable progress, and then there's going to be setbacks. Like, I didn't expect five guys to land on my ankle when I was 16 and require me to have a second bout of physical therapy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happened, and I learned through the process of working with my physical therapist, and that, hey, I might not be talking to you today had I not had that experience. But if I were a young high school athlete again right now, I would tell them, first of all, have fun playing your high school sport. You don't get those moments back. So enjoy being part of a team. Enjoy just like being independent and doing a sport. It's awesome. I love sports. I think be mindful that a lot of the habits you develop now do manifest in adulthood. So if there are ways to get into the gym or before activity, like do some single leg or single arm activities so that you can start to break out of bad habits now, so that when you're an adult, it won't take so long to break.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think some of the things that I would tell younger version of myself is probably, I'll say, related to how quickly I try to progress. I think one of the things that I was very guilty of was that I compared myself a lot to the other guys that were in the gym, and the weight that they were either picking up or throwing around or whatever it might be. And especially when you first start lifting, you have to take like so much extra care to learning proper form. And there's not enough people that take that opportunity. They think, well, I should be weightlifting, so I'm just going to go start deadlifting today and not necessarily like learn the proper principles of the deadlift to make sure that you don't like tear up your back. So that's something that I wish that I knew, because there are definitely like smaller, uncomfortable, things that I have that are a result of, you know, when I was first starting to lift, I didn't pay enough attention to. I used to say, well, not everyone needs a personal trainer. And I'm here to say now that, like, I think everyone kind of needs a personal trainer, especially when you're first starting, or like a guide, a coach, a something that you trust in order to learn the proper technique of that new skill. Obviously there's ways to learn outside of that. But there is no feedback like the feedback of another person. And that's, again, that's something that I've learned with the years, that, you know, Jordan telling me, hey, just open your legs up a little bit more and, you know, squat. That was a life-changing thing for me. And that's something that I wish I knew, you know, 5-6 years ago, because I would be in a lot better shape today.
Yeah, it's hard though, you know, when we all started our fitness journeys, it sounds like back in high school, like we didn't have any money. We didn't know any better. You know, it's hard to seek out those resources. Nowadays, like there are some incredible organizations. Like I can just name a few, like Renaissance Periodization, Juggernaut Training Systems, Barbell Medicine, great resources to understand lifting and mechanics. Now you have to apply them in real time, and it's great to have real time feedback. Yeah. But even if you learn things by watching videos, going to the gym, apply the principles at a weight that is easy. Mm. Like you don't want to practice barbell technique, pushing your intensities close to like 85 to 90 one rep max or more. That's just irresponsible. So I think you do the best you can with the resources, but if you do have the means of getting a coach, absolutely. Because again, I don't think you're going to have to ask me any questions on basic squat, bench, deadlift technique moving forward. If anything, it's going to get more into the nuanced questions of, I'm struggling at this weight, I've plateaued. And then it's like higher level programming questions or isolating one muscle group potentially a little bit better. And that is when this gets really fun.
Yeah. If you had a person come to you, never picked up a weight in their life.
Yep.
How do you, what are the things that you want to teach that person, so they can be set up for success for their lifting journey?
First of all, I need to ask them if this is something that they want. Do they want to lift weights? Because just because I like doing it doesn't mean they need to. And there are other means of exercise for sure. But I think a lot of it comes down to finding things that they enjoy, number one. But number two, if you look in a gym, a traditional gym setting, I think machines would be the easiest or most user-friendly. Yeah. They're kind of straightforward. And I think it's a good way to introduce lifts. But if someone wants to do deadlifts, which I certainly think, I think a kettlebell would be a good place to start. It's pretty... I have to check my English here. Unintimidating.
Yeah.
Non-intimidating. One of those.
Unintimidating.
But the thing is, you don't have to deadlift from the ground. You don't have to squat to depth immediately. You can sit on a box. You could do a squat with assistance. You could put a kettlebell on a step so that they're deadlifting from a different height. So they're still able to do that exercise while they're learning technique. I don't know, if they have the range of motion, sure, go to the floor. But if they don't, say you're dealing with an older client that can't lift from the floor yet, but you still want to deadlift and they want to deadlift, like there are ways to continue getting that movement in. So I think, you know, understanding where the person is in their life, their understanding of exercise, and just making the exercises. I think the key is to give them exercises they can succeed at, because if you give people things that are too difficult, like I can take in capoeira, for example, it's very easy to get turned off when you see people like flipping in the air and you can barely do something simple. But if you train, this happened yesterday in class, actually, like if you train with people around a similar skill level, you'll realize that like you're doing really well for where you are in the learning process. So just like realizing that there is growth from class to class is enough to keep you going, versus if you're comparing yourself to an elite level capoeirista or lifter, you're likely to give up.
I know. I mean, it is one of those things, and maybe this is just me, but maybe not.
Highly possible.
There is something to that when you see someone else in a gym that's doing particularly well. For me, at this point, it makes me sort of more ambitious. I'll say, right? Like, I'm like, man, that guy over there, he's like deadlifting like 600 pounds with like picture perfect form, and like I can't complain anything about it. I really want to get to that. There's not a lot of people that are doing that at my gym, but like the couple of people that can, I'm just like, oh, holy shit. You know, like I want to be able to get to that, and it makes me hungrier. But to that point, I need to make sure that in my own strategy, that I'm implementing the proper one, programming to be able to get to that point, but two, the technique and I'm addressing my imbalances, you know, if I have them in order to get to that specific weight. Speaking of capoeira, I know it's one of the things that you're incredibly passionate about. How did you fall into it?
Well, one day I was sitting in the park, and then if you're outside of New York, the park means Central Park. At least in my world, it does.
Yeah, it does.
I saw people doing backflips in the park, and I realized that it wasn't just a bunch of gymnasts or trickers doing it, because there was a circle of people. So we call that a joda in capoeira. So it was, I don't know, to me, I knew what capoeira was before I saw that, but at a time in my life when I feel like I needed community and I needed to do something that was not barbell related, because I have above average flexibility and power, I think, for a traditional lifter. So I felt like I was limited just doing powerlifting.
Yeah.
And basically, if you play Tekken, the first class I went to, there was the equivalent of Eddie in our class. And I saw all the crazy things he was doing, but also how he was like a super nice guy, like, and how the community wanted to teach me and make sure that I was having a good experience in class. I just kept going and going, and now it's like a disease.
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
It's more than a passion at this point.
Right. When you took me to the one meetup down by, was it Chelsea Piers? I remember the head instructor was there, and the number one thing we barely even met, we hadn't even like spoken at that point, and he was like, no, like, come in, you're gonna like, you know, be here clapping your hands, and you know, I'm gonna completely butcher what it's called, we were doing the dance, and you know, I was horrendous at it, especially my cartwheels, it was horrible, but you know, it was a great experience, and you really, when you go to those things, you do, and maybe this is a credit to the coach.
Junior.
What?
Today, Junior.
Yeah, exactly. It's a credit to the coach, but it was an incredibly welcoming environment. That's all I have to say.
Muito obrigado, Rich.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. It was a skill that like I never thought I would ever use again, but it was a really good. I see why you like it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
For those who are unfamiliar, like you can easily fall down a rabbit hole on the YouTube. And you know, like see people in Brazil that are like doing this from when they're in the womb.
Pretty much. It's a huge part of Brazilian culture. And I think a lot of people just see the flashy aspect of it, but the understanding that it was like a slave sport that was created to rise up against slave owners, you have to appreciate that cultural aspect as well. And I think what it's done for me is, and I love Brazilian culture, I love Brazilian people. So for me, it's just like connected me more to like, to all of that. And it's been
to the culture
more than just like, yeah.
All right. So you got a podcast now.
I do.
What is the inspiration behind the podcast? Why'd you start it? What are you hoping to accomplish with it?
Oh, you know, I just had nothing better to do with my time, so I figured I'd start a podcast. That was a joke. And my joke delivery is pretty bad, so people are probably like, yeah, he's serious. He doesn't have a life. I just realized over time, I've made a lot of connections in the fitness and wellness industry that I wanted to give a platform to people to share their opinions. And whether, and honestly, in some cases, the only way I talk to some of my friends that don't live nearby, and it gives me an opportunity to chat with them, which is cool because I want it to be informal. But at the end of the day, if I can reach one to two people an episode at this time, hopefully more later down the road, to get them to think, to get them to ask questions, because asking questions leads to discovery and asking more questions. And that's just how we grow. And I honestly, if because I know physical therapy is a growing profession, I want people to question whether or not that's for them.
Right.
I want them to question, well, I heard this before. This was my belief about the world, but you're saying to think of it in this perspective and not to believe what I'm saying, but just to start asking, just going internal. I wish I had better words to describe it, but like just doing a deep dive into where someone's at in their life. And I don't know. I have a lot of fun doing it. And I think that's the main thing. Whether it's going to be purchased by Spotify someday or not, I don't know. But
maybe.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's the goal if you're listening to Spotify. No,
they're
man,
not
look.
Listening. They're absolutely not listening.
No, man, look, I actually was very excited when you said you were going to start a pod. One, because I, as your friend, you know, I like to see my friends trying new things, doing new things. But two, because I just have become, so familiar with, the level of expertise you have over, you know, the amount of time, because I don't think you like really appreciate, someone's expertise when you work with them, and you barely know them. Like you can certainly appreciate it, but not when you first meet someone. And I don't think that like when we first met the first time, even that we recorded, the podcast together, that I like had a like deep understanding of just the pool of knowledge that you've gathered over the years. And so I got really excited knowing that one, yes, you're going to be talking to a lot of great people, but two, you're going to like finally have another outlet to express some of the things that you've gathered. And to the other point that other people are going to start learning from you because there is a lot of great stuff that you do have. And I think you just have a really good perspective on just everything in one, everything in the world, but two, everything in sort of the realm of health and wellness and fitness and strength training, whatever you want to call all of it together. You have a very well-rounded perspective to that degree. So for me, it's dope on multiple levels.
Yeah, let it be known that Rich is my number one hype man. But I think I also, you know, I may have all this knowledge, but if it falls on deaf ears because of a lot of life comes down to perception.
Yeah.
I could be the most intelligent and best fit for any particular person, but if they perceive that someone who's full of shit is the right source of information for them, like many social media accounts
sure.
that might be out there, not I can't specify any, I'm just saying in general, then my message, my information just remains for me. So there's no knowledge to be shared if someone's not going to consider listening to me. And it's not like, this is not a call to action to say, you should listen to me, I know what I'm talking about, because I want that to be organic and for people to make that choice themselves. But if I start to put out this content that people can relate to, and then eventually that's my way to get people to at least consider what I'm saying, mission accomplished.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So Jordan, where can the people of the internet find you, either work with you, listen to the pod, all the jazz?
I'm about to take off in 2022, folks. I hope you're ready for this. So I would, you know, it's funny. Even last year, I would say my Instagram is the best place. I'm at dr.jordanseda, S-E-D-A. Fun fact, Seda means silk in Spanish, if you are familiar with that. And they used to call me Jay Smooth back in the day.
Because you're silky smooth.
Hey, you know, it works. It works from time to time. But I would normally direct you to my Instagram, but I'm actually in the process of expanding my TikTok because I feel like the world is heading there. And I am not, it's not like I'm some conformist, but I'm also, you know, I'm malleable and I move with the time. So I'm also at dr.jordanseda on TikTok. I have a website. Honestly, if you just type my name into Google, there's a lot of places. I have a YouTube channel where I post a lot of video content, especially my podcast. Also,
your match.com profile comes up.
Match.com. I have not, I don't even want to say what I want to say right now. I'm not, there's nothing wrong with match.com or eHarmony or anything like that. Although I think about that commercial, this will be. It's like eHarmony. But I don't have a dating profile online. I'm still out there on the apps, but only sparingly because they're time consuming and it takes away from me expanding my social media platforms.
Correct. Yeah. No, you know, it's funny. I thought to myself literally yesterday, I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to get on TikTok soon, aren't I? I'm going to have to just like, you know, start gym dancing or whatever it is that the kids are doing on there. Are like, okay, this before I let you go, are people like, what are people doing on like fitness TikTok right now?
Well, it depends on what the intention is. Some people are just posting their lifts with no intention. My mission is to be like simple content that's easy to digest, very captivating to the eye. It's like, oh, does this bother you when you do this? Try this. Boom. Click subscribe. That's it. People don't have the attention to watch long videos or
content.
People will probably decide within like a second if they're like, I'm going to watch this or I'm not going to watch this. So I think I need to do a better job of creating content that's appealing, but I'm also not going to do deadlifts in a thong, although I'm sure that would.
That'll get views. That'll get shares.
Yeah, I mean, my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, for sure.
Well, then, all right.
and women, but it would definitely bring the boys to the yard.
On that note, thank you, Jordan. In all seriousness, one, thank you for your friendship, as always. But two, I wish you the best of luck with your podcast. Maybe someone you know will be on it sometime soon. Wink, wink, hint, hint. You know, I have seen your growth as a friend. And I'm excited to see you continue to grow. And I also know that you've seen me grow, and I appreciate for the help you've been on my journey. I know I'm gonna stop blowing smoke up your ass now because you're smirking and you could barely hold it together. But go follow Jordan. He's great, and thanks.
My mind was completely in the gutter. That's why I can't contain my laughter. Definitely not going to make it onto the podcast.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm going to stop recording now. So okay. See you next week.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Go follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rich Cibada. That's Rich, C-E-B-A-D-A. And I will see you next week.
Yo, smoking on top shelf Guido, and it's all over my hands like Cheetos. All she wanna do is dance in tight Speedos. Relax in a mansion like the Migos. I can't even sell shit that I smoke. This shit cross bands like the Beatles. And we watch movies like it's Regal. Then go cash out on seafood. Send her home with a quarter ounce of diesel. Girl, that boy don't even feed you. Yeah, he saw me spread it like the measles. I feel like these niggas want competition with me. And I only compete with myself. This for the niggas who stuck to the mission with me. I got Dev hair up in the kitchen with me. Got the oven on 450. I got an ounce of Gorilla Glue. I'ma smoke that in the day. I need more sticky. These niggas wish they could do what I do, but they can't, so instead they want war with me. I hit this bitch from the back, it was lovely. I might bring that pussy on tour with me. I'm from a block where you gotta look before you step. If you don't, you get killed here. Half of my niggas is blazing for PD, the other half rolling like wheelchairs. They call me David, I speak from the heart. I was born in the Bronx and I'm still here. If it ain't God, we don't feel fear. Yeah, let's get it. Y'all, don't let nobody tell you struggle don't hurt. I was in middle school trying to get fly with my uncle's old shirts. Ha. Couldn't afford Nike, had ponies on. Now I'm sitting with execs plotting on a big bag to put the homies on. I'm the top competitor, you think he hot, but he not, he regular. All I do is blunt blaze, I don't make the front page, I'ma pop the editor. Look, I rap for them niggas who wake up stressed. Pockets on E, tryna do their best, keep going hard. Niggas ain't built like you, for another 24, you blessed. A lot of niggas died this summer, I'm just glad I survived this summer. No baby showers, 380 showers, a lot of niggas in the sky this summer. I'm just tryna stay focused, streets got a nigga hopeless. So I let it out on a beat, this is all weed mix with emotions. You think of me? Think of devotion. Think of longevity. Racing myself. No one ahead of me. Think of ambition. Think of prosperity. Think of intelligence. Stupid, I'll never be. Think of integrity. And if you cross me, nigga, you dead to me. Yo, baby girl, she just some head to me. I'm living good. Niggas look fed to me. Trying to be great. It's more than bread to me, nigga. David James. Ibiza.